This is KUT.
KUT, Austin.
Stop.
There are two major competing healthcare plans being debated in the Democratic presidential primary, Medicare for All and a so-called public option. Up until now, it's been tough to compare the two plans. But today, the Urban Institute, a center-left think tank, is out with the first report stacking them up side by side. Who will they cover? What will they cost? In part two of a series from Trade-Offs, a new health policy podcast, journalist Dan Gorenstein and physician economist Bappu Jena break down the differences.
In their new report, Urban runs Medicare for All and the public option through their economic modeling machine to predict the impact they'll have. The versions they analyzed resemble those proposed by some of the leading Democratic contenders. But before we start our apples-to-apples comparison, Bappu, let's define these two approaches.
Great. Let's dig in. Medicare for All, sometimes called single payer, replaces our current system with a plan that's run and paid for by the federal government.
And the public option. At its core, it basically preserves our current system, adding a publicly run plan to compete with private insurance.
There are dozens of trade-offs you could tackle in this 70-page report. But to keep this simple, we're going to focus on just two.
Okay, first up, who gets covered? This one is easy.
Medicare for All lives up to its name, covering everybody with the exact same plan. And it's more generous than what most of us have now, including dental and long-term care.
The public option covers every American and offers roughly the same benefits we get now, but it would exclude 7 million undocumented immigrants. Okay, Bappu. The second trade-off, costs. Let's start with the total cost.
Here's how I explain that to my students. Imagine a pie chart. Each wedge represents part of the total economy. One wedge is what our entire country spends on healthcare. You, me, states, the federal government, employers, all of us. Even if we stick with our current system, that wedge is going to keep growing, totaling $52 trillion over the next decade alone.
Under Urban's analysis, Medicare for All would accelerate that growth by an extra $7 trillion. Under the public option, that $52 trillion healthcare wedge would actually shrink a tiny bit. So why do we care about the size of this gigantic slice of policy pie?
Because the bigger it gets, the less we have to spend on things like education and public safety.
Now let's talk about who covers the cost for all of this deliciousness.
Under Medicare for All, the federal government picks up basically the whole bill. Their spending would increase by $34 trillion over the next 10 years. Under the public option, federal government spending goes up too, but by a lot less, $1.5 trillion.
Here's why we're looking at the federal government's portion of this total tab. When the feds have bills to pay, they usually turn to taxes. Most of us would probably see a tax hike under Medicare for All, but out-of-pocket costs would also be eliminated. So on the whole, a lot of us would end up spending less.
The public option would also likely raise taxes, but not by nearly as much. There'd still be out-of-pocket costs, but less than we have today. So just like with Medicare for All, most of us would end up saving more on our health care.
The question in the Democratic debate for the politicians and the voters, which imperfect solution do you prefer? Your answer will depend on how you feel about things like taxes, spending, and whether health care is a right.
Tomorrow, in our final episode of the series, we look at how Democrats are preparing to reckon with the reality check this paper provides. I'm Bappu Jena.
And I'm Dan Gorenstein for Trade-Offs.